Welcome to Love in Brief, a brief ABDL advice podcast focused on issues of love, live from CapCon 2024. I am so happy to be here with you all and with my distinguished panel. My name is Resonant Yes, and it is 9:30 in the morning at CapCon, which means it is essentially 4 a.m. body time, right? Because everybody went to bed about 15 minutes ago and then got up for this podcast. So thank you to this amazing audience that came. Thank you to our panelists. This is an advice podcast focused on issues of love. So I'm going to introduce our panelists, and I'm going to ask the question I like to ask at the start of every podcast, which is, tell me about your love. And I'm going to share a little bit about each of you, and then I'll ask you to introduce yourself and share a little bit about your love. Sound good? Sure. All right, let's do it. I'm going to start with my frequent co-host and producer of the Love and Brief podcast. This is Teddy Bear. How about a hand for Teddy Bear?
Thank you so much.
And Teddy Bear, tell me about your love.
My love is for spreading smiles. So if you've met me this weekend, I've been passing out these little mini bears in my bear backpack behind me here. And I got 300 of them, and I am down to about 25. Wow. So I have gotten around, and the look on everyone's face when I open my backpack and you see the bears is just priceless for me. And it just makes me smile, too.
So. I love that. And I'm wearing one, and now you're going to be out of the 25. I bet you.
And I'm Teddy Bear with me on Instagram, FetLife, pretty much every major social media. So.
Awesome. Thank you, Teddy Bear. Mm-hmm. I will also welcome to our distinguished panel my friend. So I always like to have a first-timer up here on the dais. So imagine being that person that I'm like, hey, I know it's your first time meeting 1,600 folks all at once who are all crammed into this hotel. How about at 9:30 in the morning, you sit in front of an audience and answer questions? And my friend Carmen said yes to that. So let me introduce to you first-timer Carmen. Carmen, tell me a little bit about your love.
A little bit about my love. I think my love is for the community. I've made some great friends in the community, and they've been very supportive of me learning and exploring. Mm-hmm. And I think my love has just grown after coming to CAP.
Yeah.
For the community.
I love that. It's almost impossible in this, when you're surrounded by this many people who are all sharing love, not to grow.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. I love that. So I'm extra super excited to introduce my next guest, who was my absolute mentor as I dreamed of the possibility of even starting a podcast. A profound influence on my life and just one of my favorite humans in the world. The host of the Big Little Podcast, co-host of the Big Little Podcast and creator of it, my friend Mako.
Hi, everyone. My love is for everyone's innate ability to learn to love yourself. And when you do, it makes your life amazing, and it makes the lives of everyone around you amazing too.
Thank you, Mako. And you've given me that gift over and over and over again. If you've listened to more than one episode, you've probably heard me quote Mako 5 times. And so it's such a privilege to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'll take another round of applause for Mako.
Thank you, everyone.
I want to also introduce my very close friend, and you might have recognized these are people who have been guests on the show in the past. My close friend and remember, what was the term we came up with last night?
I believe it's called Metamore.
Metamore. Yeah. I kept saying Paramore like the band. And
I think I prefer that, actually.
So in poly terminology, a metamore is a partner to your partner, yeah?
I believe so. So I'm using it correctly.
That's right. So this is my close friend and apparently metamore, Banana.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on again, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's always a hard question. What is, to talk about my love? Only because there's so much to talk about. Yeah. my partner, of course, and our, amazing group of friends that I've met over the last year or so, and then just the whole community here. It's incredible the amount of just acceptance. This is a really incredibly vulnerable space, which for a lot of us is a really hard space to be in. So to walk into this and feel that love and acceptance right away is just super meaningful. So yeah. I hope I can give some of that energy back.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Banana. And lastly, but very not leastly, my longtime friend, I mean, we were talking about being OGs from back in the early days, my longtime friend and co-conspirator in putting on roasts for our friends that make people cry. This is Sprite. Welcome, Sprite.
Thank you. Thank you. And now everyone knows how old I am.
Tell me about your love, Sprite.
My love is just for the overall acceptance and love this community has always shown. Like, I first joined this community about 15 years ago, which is insane to think about because, like, going back and thinking about insert age at that time, to think that at that point when it's like, oh, sure, there might be other people out there, but I mean, who would ever want to like hang out? Who would ever want to do this? And now, like, to go from, you know, random parties that there was like 25 people at to 1600 people here, like just seeing that growth and the love that everyone has for one another. And, you know, it's that moment that I get to feel like a celebrity again. So I will take that.
Yeah, buddy. Good. Thank you, Sprite. So as we said, it's an advice podcast, and it has been such a privilege to get to do this over these many years and to get to share the wisdom of our guests and our experts and share the wisdom with each other. So I'm going to invite whoever that first brave soul is from our audience here at CapCon to come up and pose a question or a topic that you would like us to speak to. Is there anybody who wants to be that first person? Holy moly!
Yeah.
Holy moly. Thank you so much. If you want to share your name, your pronouns, and then if you don't mind, your question.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Super Baby. Pronouns he, him, and I'm very excited to be here. This is my first CapCon, by the way.
So
it's very exciting.
First question at your first CapCon. That is so bad.
Yes, exactly.
That's quite super.
Yeah.
Oh, I thank you very much. So I guess my question is, and this is what I've been struggling with a lot, and people who follow me on Instagram kind of hear my stories, and it's really about dating in the community and how difficult it is to meet somebody. Now, I see some people here, and they're like, yeah, I started talking to this person 2 months ago, and now we're mommy and baby. I'm like, oh, I can't even get somebody to meet me halfway somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's very difficult, and I've been trying to ask for advice, and, you know, people, you know. So that's kind of what I'm, kind of, my struggles lately is, you know, the dating in this community and how difficult it is, and if there's any advice you can give on, because I know you told me your story and how you did your yes year, and how you just, so I'm just curious, like, if you guys had similar experiences, how'd you overcome them? Did you meet somebody and, you know, convert them or something? And,
yeah. Thank you, Super Baby. That's a great question. So the question's out here, our first brave question. How do we approach dating in the community? Any advice on how people meet people, how people connect? I see Mako already.
Oh, yeah, I got this one. So here's the thing, okay? It's like Ariel in The Little Mermaid says, you know, I want to go where the people are. Mm-hmm. Go where the people are. Go to munches. Get involved in your community. Go to play parties. Go to events. Be around people, which is not like a small thing. Like, it's an act of will to do that. You know, it's one thing to, like, put a diaper on in your bedroom while you're watching the news, I don't know, and go, this is what I do, right? Yeah. But to, like, get around other people and go, yeah, that, me too, uh-huh, let's go. Like, that's tough, right? So do that. But then part of why I think you should do this is, let's, like, get the diapered elephant, like, out of the closet or in the room and point to it and go, right, this is a thing, right, okay? And then you don't have to worry that you're going to be dating someone and, like, go to the movies and, like, you know, 45 days later be like, oh, yeah, diapers? And they're like, what? Right? Like, just make it a nothing, right?
Yeah.
There's a food metaphor I love.
It took us almost 30 seconds to get your food metaphor.
It's a thing. That I have been telling people forever, or a long, long, long time. It's a metaphor for being in a relationship when you're kinky that I call the cake and the icing. And what the, not that it's easy, it's not a piece of cake, but it is a piece of cake in the sense that it's layered, right? Like the cake part, that's the part where you're just like a good person, you know, you pick them up at the airport at 2 a.m. and when you both have like stinky dragon breath in the morning, you kiss each other anyway. And like you don't lie and you're nice to them. And cake is great, okay? But imagine a piece of cake that was just cake and had no icing. There's a technical term for that. It's boring, right? Yeah. And you'd be eating that thing, and after a while, you'd be like, if I don't get a glass of milk soon, I'm going to be shanking somebody, right? So then there's the icing. And the icing is that they diaper you, or they spank you, or they, like, sit on your face. 45 seconds for that one.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. You're late.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, that's great, too. But here's the thing, is that icing by itself, while it's sweet and amazing and awesome, will give you a stomachache. You need some cake underneath it, right? So which do you go after first? The answer is neither. You meet a person. You meet them as a person, right? And if you happen to meet them in an icing context, then you kind of lick down through the icing.
Go
take
on.
That however you want, right? And explore their cake. Because if they really love country music and you think it's an ice pick in your face, you're not going to work out, right? Or if you happen to be at a kink event and talk about something you really love, like, I don't know, Scrabble or Taoism or Esperanto, mm-hmm. and they like it too, like, you're in, you're great. So, like, meet someone as a whole person because you yourself are a whole person.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
I could hear people vibing with that. Absolutely. Thank you, Mako. Other thoughts? How do you date in this world?
I mean, I'll just say that, like, I'm not someone, you know, despite how long I've been in this community and despite my amazing good looks and charming personality.
Mm-hmm. Can,
you didn't have to
can
laugh
confirm.
At that part.
And huge modesty.
Yeah.
I have not dated that much in the community, and my current partner is someone that I met 8 years ago. It wasn't an immediate thing. Like, we became those friends. We talked. We shared, like, these sides of ourselves and, you know, what we wanted and everything. And, you know, we first established a dynamic in 2022. And we went with that dynamic for about 5 months. And then I was the one that told her that, like, this isn't working for me. Like, this isn't the dynamic that I think either of us are looking for. And we took a break. And then we came back to it. And we started talking again. And then we established a new dynamic. And now we're almost a year in. And we just got matching tattoos the other day. So it's like, This is someone that, like, I have. Like, someone that I really have a deep love for that I did not expect for it to happen. Like, this was just a really good friend. And so it's what Mako was saying, that you have to establish that base and you don't know what the future holds. Like, you know, it's great to have that instant gratification on things, but at the same time, like, I'm so much happier with this than I was with other dynamics that I've explored and whatnot, and it took that time to build into this. So that would be my advice, is, you know, just be patient with it. And, like, it sucks being patient. We all know that. But when you have it and when you find it and then when it's there, it's amazing. And that's all I really got to do it, is just let it happen naturally. And it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I love the matching tattoo. Like, that's really touching. Thank you. I'll add just a little bit, which is, the way that I ended up finding love started with me finding love for me, which was hard. And we've talked about shame a lot, right? And it took years of community for me to find that love for me. And it took years of therapy and reflection and being surrounded by people who reminded me that I'm not broken. And it also took me finding my place, my love in the community. And what I mean by that is, for instance, doing this was important to me because it's one thing I can do to share love back. And I sort of created a space around me that said, hey, this is what I'm about. I'm about trying to create as much love in the world as I can before I die. And this is a way I choose to do that. And I think people who shared that aspiration came into that circle, and we're like, hey, what are you about? Like, how do I get around that. And then I recognize the same thing in them, and I go, how do I spend more time with you? You create a thing I care about a lot. So one piece of advice would be to find the thing that you want to create in the world. Find the thing that you want to create in the community. Make stuff that matters to you. And it doesn't have to be physical stuff. It doesn't have to be a product or content. It can be the way that you make relationships. It can be the way that you share yourself and your passion. But create a space around you that looks a lot like you. And people who want that will come into that space. That would be my thought on that. Yeah. Well, thank you. I love that question. Now I'm ready for more questions. What you got? Come on up. See, friends, look what happens when you break the ice, Super Baby. You nailed it. You nailed it. Love that. Welcome.
Were there some elbows in there on the?
I saw some flying elbows.
Fighting your way to the front.
No, I just cut. Hi, my name is Karen, and my pronouns are she and her. I'm MS Miss Pierce on most social media. I have a fun question. I have a serious question.
All right.
Which one?
Let's tackle the fun one and then the serious one. Let's do it the other way. Let's do the serious one, then the fun one.
No, the fun one's pretty easy.
Okay, let's do the fun one.
But it is a serious question.
Uh-oh, now I'm really confused.
Yeah. Bring it.
What's happening?
Scary. Bottom tapes first or top tapes
first? Oh, shit, you want to start a civil war.
Yes, I do. Wow. Revolution.
Dividing line through this.
Yeah, this community is torn apart by this question.
Bottom left, then top right. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow.
You go home.
You go home.
That is just
Teddy
crazy.
Bear's kicked out.
You guys are using tapes?
It depends on if you're putting the diaper on yourself or not.
Oh, okay.
I have an absolute answer about this. If I'm putting on my own diaper, which does happen, I do the bottom tapes because I put my diaper on standing up, and then you can kind of snug it up and then, like, fiddle with the tapes, and especially if they're catch and loop fasteners, yeah. Which I love. You don't have to. It's fine. Like, then you can, like, get that all situated. If I'm not putting the diaper on myself, then it's however the person diaper me wants to do it, and I need to shut up.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
I would add to that to say if it's standing up, usually bottom tapes first. And if you're laying down, top tapes first.
Yeah.
I feel like I've angered you, and we can discuss that later.
Right. So.
Remember when we used to be in a relationship? Carmen, I have to know.
Oh, if for me, it's bottom tapes first.
Every time.
Yep. Every time.
Every time. Wow. Ooh.
Every time for me, too. Yep.
There's a whole contingency who are clapping to bottom tapes first. All right.
Yeah.
We can arm wrestle afterward. So I have actually become a convert on this issue. I agree with if you're standing, bottom tapes first, because it makes the top tapes so much easier. Mm-hmm. But if laying down or diapering somebody else. Wait, sorry. I'm doing this backward.
Yeah.
Top tapes first when standing. Bottom tapes first when somebody's
late. I was going to say.
Yeah, thank you. So, great question, and so far, no bloodshed.
Okay, well, this one, I hope we're all on the same side. My love is political activism. I'm from Florida, mm-hmm. but this isn't happening just in Florida. Across the United States, politicians are trying to demonize and erase the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. What I would like to know, I am in the process of mobilizing because I'm part of the leather BDSM community as well as the Age Play community. Mm-hmm. And I'm mobilizing around the state to get people to get active. What would you suggest for the Age Play community to get them politically active and help them to see that when they fight for LGBTQ rights, they're fighting for their own because they're coming for us after? So that's my serious question.
This is a big question. Thank you for your question. This is a big question. And certainly not the first time we've talked politics on this this program. So I would love to know, how do we think about this?
Do you mind if I jump in?
Please do.
Thank you. I actually had a great conversation with Karen about a little bit about this yesterday. I think it's tough. I would venture to guess that a handful of people in this room don't know what you're talking about. And because of that, I think the first step is education. I think for a lot of you that may not be aware, last year there were over 300 anti-trans bills introduced across the U.S. And as if, for those who didn't hear, there's over 500 just this year. We're only in March. March? Jeez. What day is it? It's Cap. What day? What year is it?
March 6th.
So it's scary, right? It's scary for the trans community. It's scary for the larger LGBTQ community. So first and foremost is understanding, you know, what is being introduced, what is happening. And then from there, we can think a little bit more about what can we do. And there's a lot you can do. There are nonprofit organizations, places like the Human Rights Campaign. There's Equality. So my home state is Ohio. There's Equality Ohio. There's Equality Florida. There's a lot of other great organizations. And that's a way for you to get in and just kind of work as an individual. And, you know, you can remain, you can have some anonymity in that too. It's not like your name is getting posted anywhere. Mm-hmm. But you can go that far too. There's, you know, just about every state, you have the ability to speak publicly against bills or legislation that you oppose. I myself have done that. And it takes some courage a little bit. It takes a little bit of strength to get up there and speak before a legislature, or sometimes you can just submit it as written testimony too. But you know, it gives us a little bit of agency to say, hey, this is wrong and I stand against this. And know that you've done the right thing to stand against that. Yeah, I'd start there.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
So my brother Spacey, mm-hmm. he used to tell a story all the time, and this is it's tangential, okay, about people being biased against age players, kinky people, like regular, like normal perverts, not deluxe perverts like us, thinking that we were weird and strange and something was bad about us. And the way that he would pop that and make it go away is that he would talk to these people and show them what an awesome person he was. And they would go, oh gosh, you're actually pretty awesome, because people could see that because he was awesome. And then they'd realize that there's nothing wrong with us, yeah. right? That they were holding a preconception. And I think that that same pattern is something that you can repeat in your life. I work from home, and I go out to eat once a week or so. And there's this restaurant that I live in Virginia, which is pretty conservative at times. That's a little bit south of my house. And I went to talk to the owner and just like chat him up in this restaurant. And I was talking about, you know, these issues and about like bathroom bills and why they are anathema and so disgusting. And he had no idea. Mm-hmm. He's like, what's the problem? Because he had no empathy. He had no sympathy because he couldn't take the perspective of the people. And I said, well, let me tell you all about it. And I told him about experiences of friends of mine and experiences I even shared. I once went with a trans friend of mine to the bathroom, and this guy came in and was going to pound the shit out of her. And I had to like jump between them and go, hey, man, dig me, la, 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 you know, yeah. so that my friend could finish peeing and leave without being beaten.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I started to tell that to this guy, and he's like, that's really terrible. And I wasn't like, yeah, fuck face. It is. You know, I was empathetic. I was like, so maybe you should do something about it.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing that I will say to you is do check, because in many states, including Virginia, you can register to vote by mail. So do that and get it out of the way so that you can exercise your power, because you do have power. Mm-hmm. And then go to your friends that maybe don't understand and help them to understand and encourage them to vote by mail too.
Mm-hmm. So get active, vote, bring the problem to the minds of the people that you're right in front of.
Yeah, absolutely.
And show them what good can look like.
Yeah, I think so. And like, I don't think you're going to have success poking at people that are mean on the internet yeah. or that have that bias. Like, that's not where the power lies. The power lies in exercising your own power, and the people that haven't decided yet that you can convince, work on those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never once changed anybody's political view by telling them to change their political view.
Right.
And I guarantee neither have any of you. It doesn't work that way. But I certainly have helped influence other people's views through education, showing them the human being behind a story and saying, look, this will go, if it goes unchecked, it will continue. And so if you want it to not continue, or if you want it to take a different direction, you do have to do something. Right. And I have seen, for instance, Bananas get up on television in front of a House committee and say, I am the real person you're making decisions for. You know what I mean? Like, and watching all these people in the community, like in the actual hearings, saying, I'm the person that you're describing. I'm a human being that who is good, and you need to see the human being, not just the bill. And you can take that action. You can write. You can show up. You can vote. But I try to start from a place of like, are they, can I show the real human being in a way that creates empathy instead of trying to twist your mind into a new frame of thought? I've just never seen that work. Thank you for that. Good question.
I don't want to, I'm sure I could stand up here and talk about this for hours, but that's not what this podcast is. That's a different one.
That's Love and Long. We do that other months.
Cool. I'll be on the next episode.
I'll get you on that one.
I guess two things to, I'll say just to wrap this up. One, I love Mako's point, just to summarize the kind of be the change you want to see in the world, if that kind of summarizes your point.
Absolutely.
But also just for anybody that's interested in getting more politically active and doing this work, and I'm sure Ms. Pierce can attest to this, take your time and take breaks, because it is overwhelming. After many, many years of doing this and doing things through my job and doing being devoted to a lot of this work, it gets exhausting real fast. So being able to find that time for some self-love and self-care to take a break. I deleted Twitter this weekend because, well, it's Twitter. I don't think I need to explain why I deleted Twitter this weekend.
So now it's your ex.
Hey.
Oh, that's good. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
You're due for some punishment later, I bet. All right. But yeah, I would just say kind of take breaks, take your time. You know, there is a lot to do, but we can't boil the ocean. So
yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. All right, who's next, friends? Who has a question for us? These are good. We're getting heavy hitters right off the bat, Karen. I love this.
Wow. Well, thank you. Yeah. My name's Nikki. My pronouns are she, her, but also any. Yeah. My love is that I'm a whore for friendship. Mm. No one asked, but I just thought I'd share. my question, I was at a Kinky Things event recently, which these happen in various parts of the country. Kinky people come together, and if people have a kink they want to learn about, they write it on this whiteboard. And all day long, people have breakout sessions and just talk and share and demonstrate and learn, and any kink you can think of happens in various pockets of the room. And so I went to an age play breakout. I'm like, I'm interested in hearing what this person has to say. And, you know, being around, having heard a lot, I didn't expect to get my mind kind of blown, and I did, because they shared that one perception of age play into ABDL is that it's like kink light. But actually the opposite is true. Yeah. That's one perception that the BDSM community can kind of hold, is that this is kink light, but it's actually really deep and intimate dynamic. So I just thought I'd ask what you guys think about
that. Ooh, that's good. Kink light. So it's almost like this is they're barely dipping your toe in the kink world?
I think one perception the greater BDSM community has is that ABDL age play is kink light. It's that it's not like as kinky as Impact, or it's not as much of a real fetish or kink as insert the blank.
Right. Oh, this is intriguing. Thank you, Nikki. This is intriguing. Yeah. Anybody want to speak to this? Yeah, thank you, Nikki. What a great question.
Yeah, and so my own journey, you know, I'm a native age player my whole life, and I also have some other kinks on the side that I haven't really explored. And so last year, about this time, I went to my first BDSM dungeon, and that was really, really a new experience for me, you know, because I've been to CapCon a couple of times. I've taken the wonderful consent class with the folks in this room, Scout and
Mouse.
Mouse, thank you. Yep. And that was such a new experience for me. And you know, from going to that class, and then now going to my first dungeon, and before even the play party started, there was another consent class. And I realized how overlapping all of these topics are around consent and communication, aftercare. I think in age play, a lot of us are a little unfamiliar with these terms overall. And so perhaps that's where the perception comes from, because age players kind of find their own avenue into the kink world that's separate from the rest of BDSM. Mm. And so I think what's starting to happen, what I've seen from folks like you, Nikki, and from others in the community, we're kind of converging now. We're kind of coming closer to our BDSM folks. Like, I have a great friend group in the town where I'm from, and they have opened up their arms, welcomed me and my other friends that are ABDL. Just no judgment. They're just curious. And I think through experiences like that, I'm getting more comfortable coming out to them. I'm being more comfortable with my other kinks, going to dungeons. And so I'm hoping that through us going to spaces that are traditionally more BDSM, we're able to help maybe make it not so, that perception of it being kink light is starting to go away. Mm. So I think we're kind of converging more than we ever have before, and it's great to see. I have another friend in Denver, and I recently saw, did a class at a dungeon in Denver about consent, but this was for age players. And so getting them also with that same language, those tools, and then just seeing what they're doing out there, once a month, they do a dungeon night for age players, and you're just using all the same equipment that everybody else is. And so I think just getting age players, all of us here, into the dungeon spaces and seeing having the typical people that go to a dungeon see us for who we are is really changing the perceptions, and it's happening really fast. Mm.
Yeah, that overlap is happening more and more.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really helpful to hear, because I know you've been all around the country and been in all these spaces, and you're seeing that convergence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's happening everywhere.
Wow. Very cool. Carmen, I'm curious for you. Nikki said kink light. Does this strike you as kink light, or do you see that perception out there?
No. I see it as kink heavy, and I think part of that is because I've had so many emotional conversations like post-play. And that's, I think, where the kink heavy part comes, because there's a lot of emotions connected to certain things in this kink, with different play partners or different objects and that kind of stuff, whatever your role is in this kink. So I don't know, personal experience for me, it's been kink heavy.
It's been pretty emotionally rich.
It's been very emotionally rich. Yeah. I've learned so much. And for me, it's certainly kink heavy, not kink light at all.
Yeah. I mean, so it's interesting, because that was my first response too, was I thought, man, this one goes deep really fast.
Yeah,
and from a vulnerability standpoint.
Yep.
And maybe it's just because I'm sort of factory installed that of course it's going to be pretty deep for me, but I've certainly played in amazing dungeon spaces and played in Impact Play and BDSM, and this one for me is the one that's like all heart and holy moly. But I definitely can see where somebody looking in from the outside would see that and go like, oh, this is cute. It's a cute thing that we do, and we put on the clothes, but I'm doing this heavy, hardcore, belts and paddles and handcuffs and bondage. And what I'm interested in is why the comparison.
Oh, I can answer that.
Why the need for, not from you, but from the community. Like, I wonder what would produce the need to compare and say, this is kinkier than something else.
Right.
But I know we do it. We all do it. I just don't know why.
I know exactly why we do it.
All right.
It has to do with an inherent limitation of consciousness and language. Uh-huh. So the philosopher Alan Watts said, all boundaries are held in common. Mm-hmm. Part of how you know who you are is by who you're not, mm-hmm. right? We compare ourselves to other people. I'm nicer than that person. I'm taller than that person. That person is way cuter in a diaper than me, whatever, mm-hmm. right? We learn through contrast, okay? And, language is funny because you think it's a screwdriver, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's also a hammer. Let me ask a question, sort of related. Consider the lowly tomato and the magnificent zucchini. Which is more a vegetable? It's a nonsense question, right? What is the magnitude of vegetabilosity? Is that even a word? Is that even a thing? Right? This is more kinky than that. Says who? According to what?
Yeah.
The truth is that we live our experiences, and no one can really measure them except for ourselves, because we're the person experiencing them, which leads to this sort of other truth, which is that what other people think of the things you do is none of your business and doesn't matter at all. So if someone who doesn't know age play wants to think that age play is a cup of tea while their kink is a big, like, beer stein, well, let them. Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I also think that there's this aspect of age play that eludes people often. And this is going to get me weird looks, because it always does. Age play has nothing to do with age whatsoever. Not for everybody. I can't say that. I'm not an asshole. But for a lot of people, it doesn't. I think what we're actually doing is that we're playing with vulnerability, wanting someone to be vulnerable to us, mm-hmm. wanting to be vulnerable to somebody else. You know, there's that, like, you can put a diaper on yourself, but when someone else diapers you, it's, like, a lot better, right? Why? Because they're doing it with you and for you and to you because they care about it. And it feels good to be cared about in that way. I think what we're doing is we have like this, and this is super nerdy, like it's a transport mechanism for the exchange of vulnerability. Like mm-hmm. we all know what being cared for feels like because our mommies all kissed our boo-boos when we were like real little kids. Mm-hmm. So now that we're bigger little kids, like we still understand like the boo-boo kissing metaphor and we use it to like get with people. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. And if someone doesn't get it, it's not a problem.
The vulnerability transport, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Sprite, you and I have encountered, we've played in BDSM spaces and done all kinds of spankings and impact play. We've also been around plenty of ABDL. Do you experience a sort of a light or a heavy with these things?
I think it's all like, I don't know about the light heavy aspects on stuff. Like there's so much, like, and it all comes down to the person itself. Like ABDL is just another facet of kink overall, and there's people who are into considerably more, and then there's people like me who for the longest time was like, I'm just into diapers, and then all of a sudden someone's like, here's something that can electrocute you, and I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And
sign me
here's
up.
Some wax, that's even cooler. Yeah. Like, oh, here's a power control dynamic. What the mind blown right now. So maybe like one of the things is like those people that think that it's a kink light are encountering people like me who, you know, because it is such a, for me, it was such a powerful kink for myself that like it was something that I just had and I didn't explore anything else because like this works. This is my thing. This is great. This is fantastic. I don't need to do anything else. And then when you if they're finding those people and they haven't, those people haven't been able to grow like I have over the years. Like, you know, you look back at when we first met and I was just like basic simple and thought I was a guy at the time. Like this is something that I've grown with over time and figured out who I am and what I am into and everything like that. Like it's been a path. And if that's, and maybe those people that do think ABDL is kink light is because maybe it is a more introductory kink for people mm-hmm. because especially for the fact that it is something that is so ingrown. And like, you know, I can't speak for everyone here, but I can speak for when I was 5 years old and stealing diapers out of the nursery and stuff like that. Like it was just something that I already knew I was into at that point.
Yeah.
But you know, so maybe that is what people are seeing. So that's mm-hmm. why, like, I don't know about kink light, kink heavy. It's all kink. It's just everyone has their own waves on where it is.
Yeah. And the point about when you were young and you see, you know, stealing diapers, whatever, and from the nursery, like
if I paid them back, I swear.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's wild because if you were to walk down a grocery store aisle and you were, and I'm, you know, maybe let's say I'm 19 and still figuring this stuff out and I'm standing next to a buddy and we both have these kinks we haven't quite, you know, dove into yet. And I pass the diaper aisle, like my brain goes, holy shit. Right. Like, everybody at attention. This could not be more important. Right. And my buddy feels nothing. And then, you know, we pass the aisle that has all the rope in it. And my buddy's like, holy shit. You know? And he didn't even.
And then know. You're also like, holy shit.
Yeah, holy. Yeah. Now. Yeah. But it's just amazing. Like, kink and attraction and fetishism and all that. It is just what it is to you. And for the person next to you, it just can mean nothing. And they can be like, I remember going to FetFest years and years ago. And I walked by a bunch of people who were playing in, they made a giant cake. And they were playing in the cake. And I remember thinking, why? And then I looked at them and they were doing, like, having the experience in that cake that if you were like, pile of diapers and beautiful people that I would have had, right? Like, oh my God, yeah. So why? I don't know. But I know that to me, this could not be heavier. And to the person next to me, it could not be lighter. And I guess isn't that the beauty of how kink works, right? It's just whatever does it for you.
Well, cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. I love that. What a great question.
Or plastic.
Yeah, or plastic. Whatever you prefer. All right. Who's next? Who's next? You guys are doing awesome.
Apologies, everyone. I'm using an organic voice changer called laryngitis. My name is Baby Misty. My pronouns are she, her. You can find me on FetLife as Baby Misty. Here we are in the good fortune of physically being at the largest gathering in the world for lovers of diapers.
Woohoo!
With that said, this organization has done a fantastic job iterating year over year to do such amazing things and production value that's like on par with Vegas productions. Mm-hmm. With that said, people that are trying to make other gatherings on this scale really struggle only because the level of saltiness and shade that can be thrown when events are growing and going through growing pains and maybe everything doesn't go perfectly. With that said, even this organization has had their share of growing pains. What guidance can you give to folks that are really trying to say, how did this place in Illinois, which I won't name the town, happen to be the world capital of diaper gatherings? So when someone tries to start something new and people attack them for using AI for their logo, or why did you do it this way, or that's dumb, or we hate you, what can be done to foster love on that scale to bring people together so folks like Super Baby can meet other folks in person? What love can we share to cut down on the hate, where every level of detail of why did you do this event at this time? Why did you do this? So that's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Baby Misty. I love tackling this one head on. This is fun.
Yeah, I got this one too. so I put together events my own for a long time.
Yeah,
I started the Munch in D.C., and I used to do a summer camp event out in West Virginia at, called Camp Wet by the Lake. Mm-hmm. And I put FetFest's Bouncy Town Village together, which is where R.Y. and I first met.
Yeah.
And like over and over and over, I heard an awful lot of negativity from people about things. Oh, that costs too much money. Oh, that's too far away. What do you mean I can't poop in my diaper? No, your group is weird for our space. A lot.
Yeah.
None of it matters. It matters not at all. You do the work because you want to do the work. And if people want to feel negative about it, let them, because they're not for you. There's this story that I love. Called the Starfish Story. Do you know that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like the saving them?
Yeah.
That one? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell it like super fast.
Yeah, sure.
There's this little kid and he's walking up and down this beach and he every so often sees a starfish and he throws it back in the water or places it gently because he's nice. And this old man's watching him and is scoffing watching him do this. And he eventually comes and he stands in front of the kid and he says, son, you know, in his jerk way. He says, well, this thing that you're doing, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm saving starfish. He says, do you realize this beach is only like 2 miles long? There are like 740 miles of coastline. There are thousands of these starfish drying out and dying all the time. So what you're doing doesn't matter. And the kid thinks about it for a minute and turns his back on him and goes and picks up another starfish and puts it in the water and says, it matters to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the same thing. You do what you're going to do, and if you believe in it, people will groove on it, and they'll come hang out with you and think it's cool. And eventually, it catches magnetism and goes. And that's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
If I can add to that, I've never put on a big event like that. As RY mentioned, I got to be on the podcast a little while ago after I hosted my first party. And not to say that those are the same scale, but to kind of compare those, the party that I hosted was a Halloween party, and we had like disaster after disaster. My oven broke, so my coffee cake was like half baked. But what also made that better is the group of people that were there were also willing to roll with the punches and kind of, you know, acknowledge that some things happen and then, great, we'll just find a solution and fix it. Coffee cake was a disaster. Let's order pancakes or whatever we had. Mm-hmm. And so I think that moving that out to the larger scale, we as the audience need to be respectful and understand, like, hey, shit happens. Like, maybe they didn't get it right on the first pass. Maybe let's just be constructive and say, hey, maybe consider this next time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Baby Misty had pointed out, like, maybe we focus on, you know, the ways that can grow as it's in production or in development.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we have a lot of control from a smaller degree with our community. You know, we can have great people and we can be really organized and get people together. You know, we know what we want, but the outside world doesn't. And I think at a certain point, it's almost like we're going to have to rely on the general world to help us keep growing. So, for example, I know recently there was a convention. I heard great things from it last year. I was excited about it this year. And I've heard that their hotel just dropped them because they just weren't having it. I don't know all the details, but it's just those are some barriers that are outside of our control that we're also facing as a community because of the stigma that the general world places on us. I listened to another podcast recently with Alexi, the founding director of Capcom. She's amazing. And I was struck by just how many good things had to happen early on in the history of Capcom. You know, 10 plus years ago, this was a small event. And as they started going up, they went from hotel to hotel because each year they were dropped. And they just happened to find a landing spot. And this hotel that we're in right now just seems to get it. You know, mm-hmm. they are open to us being here. And I feel fortunate for that. And right now, this is the only major con that I'm aware of that's able to do this. And so, yes, we can have great people. And we can show the world that we're a great community and that we're responsible. But it also takes some of that stigma being lowered from others outside of our community for us to even get to this point. So I just feel very fortunate that we can even be here and have a convention at all. And I hope that whoever's out there that's listening to this, that has this idea, that wants to maybe create the next big Capcom, you know, they have the support and they have, you know, the tenacity to keep going and create something like this, because we desperately need more of this. Mm-hmm. How quickly this sells out every year, it sells out in minutes. And I mean, just think of how many thousands of more people could be coming to an event like this and experiencing this love, this in-person joy, this just transformational experience that are at home because they just could not make it here. So it's a tough thing to get past, but I hope somebody can.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're speaking to my heart because it's events like this that changed my experience, right?
Summer Cap was for me. Yeah.
I really think it's an issue. So I was in the shower this morning, and Lola and I were sort of poking fun at the water pressure, you know, because there wasn't any. And we were looking at the ceiling, and there was some flaking paint on the ceiling, and I was sort of grousing and saying, oh my goodness, like, does nobody stay in this hotel the other 363 days of the year or whatever? And so this is me slapping myself and saying, what was I thinking? Here's why. Like, this is incredible. And to your point, Teddy, like, I can't believe we get to do this. Like, how fortunate am I that I am lucky enough that I have both the resources and I live close enough to pull this off, right? That I get to come here and I get to be with you guys. And I don't care about the paint and I don't care about the water temperature. But at some point, and I don't know what causes this, but at some point we go from partner to consumer. We go from I'm part of this thing to I am consuming this experience. And I don't know what causes that. I don't know if it's size or how many years you've been going. But at some point it's like, I'm giving you money in exchange for a set of standards that should be reflected back to me. And of course, there are minimum standards around things like safety and consent, and the floors can't be covered in roaches. But I think I somehow flipped that switch to consumer and went, well, I'm used to nicer hotels or whatever the hell. Instead of this moment that I started with at my first cap, which is, I can't believe I get to be here. And I can't believe all these people put in this much work and brought 3 semi-trailers worth of play equipment, you know, and traveled across the country all night to set up for something that I get to walk into. So I don't know how to combat that. I'm fessing up that I had that moment. I don't know how to combat that, but I hope that we continue to recognize how special it is that we get together, whether it is at CAP or a house or a cabin or a giant festival outside. It's really special, and I hope to return to that thought.
I do want to add one last thing to that. So don't be so hard on yourself, because like, you're a human being.
Yeah.
There's this Buddhist concept I love called Maitri, M-A-I-T-R-I. Not like a tree I own, like Maitri. Mm-hmm. Maitri is loving compassion for all beings. Here's the tough part, including oneself, right? And like that thing I was talking about earlier, how like we define ourselves in contrast, that's all boundaries are held in common, right? People are very tribal. We're in groups and out groups. We compare contrast all the time. We can't help it. It's like a thing we do, right? So before it's like, oh God, I hate hanging out with these vanilla people. I really just want to be around a bunch of kinky people. And then you're there and you're like, this is great, right? And then you're like in the group of kinky people doing the thing. But now you're going to in-group, out-group again, because now you are a kinky person coming to a thing done by people who are not you. And so you're going to find fault with them because it's just like a human thing. Mm. So like when you catch yourself doing it, lovingly, gently, slap your face. Mm-hmm. Like not literally. I mean, you can if you want to.
I'm if you're into that.
If I'm not kink shaming anybody, right. Like, but like just catch yourself and go, oh, right. And like take a breath and like be nice again.
Yeah. Carmen, I'm curious because you're having right now the experience that I had 10 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You're coming in fresh to this, and you're also staying, you know, in, we're all hanging out in the same hotel. Are you still in the experience of like, I can't believe I get to do this?
Yeah, definitely. Still doesn't, excuse me. It just still doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to make it. And I had actually canceled my flight the day before coming, and I rebooked. So it still feels pretty unreal. Mm. I'm here. And I am pretty happy that there is such a big event that I could attend to get to explore more of this kink. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is you didn't care about the flaking paint.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I cared more about, because I'm a first timer, I think I cared more about who was attending. So I didn't feel so alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I can't imagine what it's like for people who haven't really had like a chance to chat to people online, whether on Instagram or FetLife, and they just kind of showed up. I can't imagine what they're feeling right now.
Just thank you for bringing me back to that place of just raw gratitude that you almost couldn't make it and you almost canceled and then barely, you know, you barely got here and you're like, now I get to see all these people.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing me back to that place. I want to wake up every morning feeling that.
Yes.
And even when things aren't perfectly put together, and even when it's a fledgling event, and there's no air conditioning, or they forgot to bring, you know, food, I want to feel that. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Well, hello, old friend.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm Green Knees. How you doing?
Welcome back, Greenie.
I have the joy of, for the third year in a row, being selected to be the hospitality and information coordinator for this here thing.
Yeah.
And I started out just like everybody else, a first timer, scared after decades of loneliness. And I can tell you that, you know, this is not a perfect thing. But loving it, warts and all, Yes, I think it's really important to point out any problems that you might see. I mean, so that staff is aware of that. But you know, compliments and making clear what you think is good really, really matters.
Yeah.
And even more than that, the ideas that we get from attendees are often absolutely the best ideas. So 3 years ago, an attendee, and I'm sorry, I don't know who did this, suggested to me, say, hey, you know what you should have is like a place for people who come here alone to scared for a plate for them to sit down and meet other people who are coming alone and scared. And that was the Buddy Bench. And this is the third year that we've done that. We've moved it downstairs. We actually bought benches this year. So it's really, really kind of cute. But that was an idea that was presented actually to me first. And then I presented that to the rest of the CapCon staff. Coming up with those ideas that matter to you, this is yours. I mean, you present those ideas. Don't say, oh, you know, this is kind of a stupid little idea. I would be embarrassed to present it. Present it. I mean, the best place you can go, the easiest, is contact@capcon.club, mm-hmm. or talk to anybody, or send an email. Get your ideas out there, because this is yours. And what that does, too, you taking some ownership of it, it increases the love, decreases the resentment of this and that. Yes, we know the schedule is really screwed up this year. Yes, why can't I have a hard copy of the schedule? You have that on your phone. Just leave that be, and let's understand that this is us. It's not them. It's not the CapCon staff presenting this to the world for you to, as you said, consume.
Yeah.
It's you to participate in. And, you know, the staff are all volunteers. We're here doing this for the right reasons. And you can do that, too. If you're bold enough to come here, maybe you're bold enough to take it to the next staff and making that happen. Mm-hmm. So I just want to thank everybody for coming. We want to hear from you. We really do. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Big round
that.
Of applause. Yeah.
And I have to say, Green Knees, you are killing it as a hospitality director, and I am so glad you chose this role. You're killing it. Hi, welcome.
Hello, e-baby boy, he, him.
Thank you.
So as a first-timer at CAP, I was always the guy that sat at home and dreamed of being here. It's really emotional to be here this year. So for all those that are sitting at home in their bedroom, in the bathtub, at the kitchen table, watching the news in a diaper, someone said earlier. what advice would you give for those folks to say, you know what, I'm coming next year, and I'm coming because I have to? So really, in 3 to 5 words, right, yeah. What would you tell those folks to say, I'm going to be here, right? Because we can take all day on this, right? Like,
yeah, I kind of want to take all day on this, but I love this. Actually, can I ask us to go in a little bit of an order? I'd be so curious. Actually, let me start down here, Sprite, if you're willing. What would you say? There's no way we're limiting to 3 to 5 words. But what would you say to encourage somebody to take the leap?
For the 3 to 5 words, just fucking do it. Like, it's not like, and yeah, well, the 3 to 5 words, whatever. Going, you know, back in 2010, I got invited to the Epic Party where there were like 25 of us. And it was me and two guys, one from New Hampshire, one from Rhode Island, me from Massachusetts, that all met that day and drove 800 miles to Ohio to go to this party. Had never met any of these people. Don't meet people from the internet, my parents always said. Well, fuck that noise. Okay? Where else was I ever going to do this? And I went, and that weekend changed my goddamn life, because I would probably be a lot richer than I am right now if I wasn't going to all these events. But fucking do it. Like, you know, My best friend ran into someone from our real life that is here for their first event, and they didn't know we were going, and we didn't know they were going, and she ran into him, and they had that exactly Spider-Man meme, like, you? Yeah. and, like, just that kind of experience where, like, that's awesome, and guess what? It didn't change our friendship. If anything, that's going to be just another cool thing that we have with this person, and it's making their con even better because, you know, they were here and they were alone and they were scared and, you know, they're able to now hang out with people and meet other people and whatnot. And, you know, my best friend, her first con was a couple years ago, and she came here with only knowing me, and she came vanilla and ended up being loving everything about this, and now this is her thing, and she loves going up to people and being like, is this your first con? Asking me about mine. She's one of those people that will gladly chat with everyone. Like, don't be afraid. Like, take that leap. Fucking do it, because what is life? Like, just, like, trust me, as someone that died 4 years ago and came back, I assure you, you want to do it.
That's
true. It's much worth it.
Yeah, thank you, Sprite. Just Fucking Do It was Nike's original draft of that slogan.
The After Midnight version.
Yeah.
Ooh, Snikey After Dark. No, I mean, and you kind of, I was thinking the same thing, is just do it. That's been kind of the philosophy for me with a few things. Mm-hmm. I met somebody in my hometown, and we, you know, then there was the nerves of just getting together and meeting the first person, you know, in town, in person, you know. And then from there, he and I texted, and we're good friends. And then he went to, he booked a session with a mommy not far from us. And it was, you know, well, I asked him every question, you know, oh my gosh, what was it like? And he said his only regret was not doing a longer session. And everything was just go for it. And I had somebody before me who was kind of doing everything in front of me, and I could, okay, cool. It's safe for him. I can do it too. I can do it too. And finally it was, hey, let's go to CAP together. And so that gave me the strength to be able, okay, I'm going with somebody that I know. And yeah, summer CAP was my first time, but knowing as the person that was up here talking about hospitality and with the buddy bench, knowing that that's there, you don't need that person to go with. You can go solo. And there will be people. There is a huge community here that will welcome you. So, yeah, I don't know that I can say it much better than just fucking do it.
Just fucking do it. Thank you, Banana. How about you, Mako?
I got a story I want to tell you guys.
I'm shocked.
Ooh. Right.
So there's this cake.
It actually doesn't have anything to do with food this time.
This one's a casserole.
This is kind of a casserole, actually. Yeah. So way back in the dawn of time when dinosaurs were walking around and I was just getting started in the community, when I was just a young, inexperienced thing, I had this online friend, and his name was Sam. And Sam was an older guy. He's about the same age I am now. And Sam told me a story about himself. So he and his wife, they had like 3 kids. And he had this, like, traveling salesman kind of job. And he had been an adult baby for decades. But it was a secret. It was his big secret. Here's how it would go for Sam. Sam would, on his way out of town, stop by his secret storage bin and get his cloth diapers, because that is a thing for him, out of the bin and his stuff. And he would go on his sales calls and be on the road for like 2 weeks or whatever. And every night in his hotel room, he was doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he would stop by a laundromat on his way home and pack it all up and put it away. And that was enough for him for a while. This went on for years. And his kids all grow up and the internet starts to become a thing. And he graduates to like some disposable diapers. And he starts reaching out to talk to other people online, but like doing like the thing where you're on your Windows computer and you're playing solitaire when someone comes to the room because you don't want them to know you're talking to other people. And he was hiding it from his wife. It was terrible. And after the last of his kids went off to college and he had done like the solitaire hiding thing for like the 141st time, he was like, I don't feel good about this. I'm hiding a thing about myself. I got to tell my wife. So he takes her upstairs. He says, honey, I have to tell you something about myself. She says, what is it? just bear with me, and goes to their bedroom. And in their bedroom, they have these nightstands that have they lock with keys. And he unlocks his nightstand and pulls from inside it like some powder and lotion and a diaper and like a passy, I think, and like puts it on the bed. And he says, "This is what I'm into, and I've not told you for a really long time." And she got this like really awful, painful look on her face and started to cry. He says, "If you want to divorce me," she said, no, "you shut up, shut up." And she went over to her side of the bed.
Stop it.
Yes. Unlocked her nightstand and pulled the exact same stuff out of hers.
Get the fuck out of here.
100%. 100%. And I heard this and I was like horrified and at the same time like overjoyed, which is a roller coaster, okay? And he said to me, he said, "Mako, don't feel bad. We've made up for lost time. I've had sex in every room in my house." Right? And I was very happy for him. Like, don't waste one more second of your life on fear. Just stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop it. Stop it right now. Like, you listening, you in the audience, specifically you, I'm telling you, cut it out. Just do it. Okay? Yeah. That's it.
That's amazing. Thank you, Mako.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that story. I cannot believe it. I didn't know what was in the nightstand. At first, I was like, is it a gun? Like, no, it's more diapers.
I was terrified too.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Carmen.
Oh, gosh. kind of like what Sprite said, just fucking do it. I think I saw this. Someone had sent me this like quote that was like, "Rest in peace to the experiences we never had because we were either too scared or too shy."
Oh.
Have you guys seen that?
Rest in peace, good experiences we could have had, but wow, we were too scared or too shy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that hits.
So I think, just like you said, just go for it. Just do it. I didn't know about this buddy bench thing here. So for me, what it was to try to get over that hurdle of anxiety was talking to people that had already been to CAP, had experiences going to a couple of CAPs, and, you know, just asking them questions, what goes on there, how does the process work, that kind of stuff really eased my anxiety about coming here and made me a little more confident about coming because they made it sound pretty, I painted the picture that everyone's very accepting, everyone's very loving and happy, and so I was excited to come even though despite the challenges prior to coming, but
yeah,
I think that was what was important for me.
Was the picture that they painted, was it correct?
The picture they painted was like really, it was a nice picture, it was a happy picture.
Yeah.
They kind of painted the picture that it's not really for like the classes or that kind of stuff, but more so to build the community, get to know people, make connections. That was probably the main answer I got from everybody when I asked them, what are you looking most forward to when you go to CAP? Is, I can't wait to meet new people.
The people,
Yeah.
Have you found it to be true?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I love to hear that.
I connected with people that I've talked to for like 2 years, and then I connected with people for the first time I had never heard of.
Yeah.
I would say it speaks true to that.
It's sure. The people.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Absolutely. Thank you, Carmen.
Yeah.
Teddy.
This would have been unfathomable to me even 5 years ago. I lurked in this community for a decade before I finally got the courage to come out and meet anyone. RY right here is one of my first friends. There was a call for a transcription group to help make this a podcast more accessible, and I jumped at the chance. Yeah. I met him. He introduced me to a lot of great people, and 6 months later or so, I bought tickets to Summer Cap, and I made that leap. So what's interesting for me is I've been an introvert for most of my life, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I did not have many friends. I think in the vanilla world, I couldn't really relate to people at the full level that I can in the kink world. And what I've realized now that I'm in the community and I'm here on a stage in front of a bunch of people, talking to a microphone with a podcast, helping produce this podcast now,
yeah.
I'm an extrovert now because I'm in my space. And when you're out in the world and you're sharing this, you have this kink, you don't really necessarily connect with people at that deep level. But what I've found is I can be friends with anybody in this room, anybody in this kink, because we share this really deep, intimate bond with each other. It's like the greatest secret for a lot of us. And once you know that, it kind of takes all the walls down. And I've found that coming here and just having conversations comes so easily, even though years ago I thought I was an introvert. And I talked to a lot of people online who have never gone out to meet anybody or a munch or much less a CapCon, and they think they're really shy, they're really introverted, like that's not their cup of tea. And I'll just say, you might be surprised. When I went to Summer Cap, it was truly transformational. Yes, my first night, I was in the lobby over there, in the corner, in a chair, just like not sure what to do. But some people came up to me and just introduced themselves and said, hey, you look like you need a friend. And we just started talking, not about diapers, not about, you know, kink, but just about, you know, where we are in Chicago or, you know, just the world. And I made new friends that way. Somebody gave me NASA stickers because I love space. Like, that was so nice of them. So that was my first experience. And from there, you just start meeting more and more great people and branching out. And now I'm so honored to be in a place where I am the one that reaches out to those people that I'm talking to. You know, they're the shy ones, and I'm giving them the encouragement to come and have this experience if they have the means to do so. Or if not, at least come out and, you know, go to a munch or go to dinner with somebody. I travel all over the country, and I love meeting up with people just to grab a meal. And the number of people, it's been their first experience with any ABDL. I didn't know that going in, so hopefully it was a good experience, right? I hope I'm a good ambassador for them. But, you know, it's so rewarding for me, and I want to pay that forward. And in this podcast, I'm trying to do the same thing with this.
So yeah.
I would say if you're on the fence about it, just fucking do it.
Just fucking do it. I wish like hell I had something more wise to say than this panel, but I don't. You guys are brilliant. Just fucking do it. Thank you, eBaby Boy, and thank you for saying yes. How many first-timers do we have here in the room? Fuck yeah!
Yeah!
What?
That's gotta be half.
Kudos to each and every one of you for stepping out. I wish folks at home could see like half the room just lit up. I'm so proud of you.
Kudos to you for fucking doing it.
Yeah, fucking doing it. And for you and for others, for those listening, it may not be CAP. It may be the, as you said, the munch. It may be the meetup. It could be the regional thing. Whatever. Just fucking do it.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Nice. Okay. Can I offer real quick, anybody who raised their hand is their first time. Anybody who didn't raise their hand, if you can, maybe go talk and introduce yourself to somebody who it is their first time.
Oh,
if you saw that and they raised their hand, it's their first time, go and introduce yourself. Say hi. Say, hey, welcome.
Brilliant. Yes, I love that. Look, people are doing it right now. I love you guys. Can we just all move in together? Can we do that? Is that a thing? Carmen, I thought you looked like you wanted to add something. I didn't want to miss it.
Oh, no, I don't know.
No, okay. You were just looking as proud as I was of this crew.
I was stretching. Sorry.
Believe it or not, friends, we have 12 minutes left. I would love to take another question if somebody's ready. This time we won't give you a 30-minute answer, I promise.
Hi, I'm James. My pronouns are he, him. So like most people here, I think, for a long, long time, my interaction with the community was strictly limited to online spaces. You know, forum groups, Reddit, role plays. And over the last year, I've been able to attend a lot of events. So now that meeting and befriending people with like-minded interests is a part of my regular life, I really have trouble with some of my older friends who I met online who still haven't made that leap of faith for, you know, circumstantial reasons or fear. So obviously we are talking a lot about just fucking doing it. But I'm just wondering, is there any special or significant advice on, because like part of the weird conundrum is I want to tell you how awesome this all is, but I also want to say that you are not less valid just because you don't meet dozens and dozens and dozens of other of other age players.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do I, you know, offer that hand? You know, I want to help motivate you. I want to help, you know, maybe help you plan, but also say, if now is not the time, you are still valid. I'm still here for you. Just because, you know, you aren't in the community in meat space doesn't mean you are not special.
Mm. Yeah. James, what a killer point to make and question to offer. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is so good. And here we are, you know, of course, we're saying just fucking do it, and I mean it, and also for people who don't, or they're not ready for one reason or not able to show them how important they are.
And one other thing is, if you've looked on many social media corners, there are many people who have had trouble logistically getting here, not from a desire perspective.
Yeah.
And some of them have gotten less than perfectly nice and cordial about it. So how do you say, you know, the event is what the event is. We have limits to what we can do. But there is a wide world. This is a great event. There are many more.
Yep. Thank you for that. I love that refocus.
So I have some quick practical advice. And first of all, yes, being online only, that's perfectly valid. I was there for a long time, and most of my friends, I would say, are still in that online only space. So do not rush it, first of all.
Yeah.
But when you are ready, I have some practical advice. Book a plane trip to Denver. I wish this were more. I wish there were other places in the country where this was as true. But if you book a plane trip to Denver and you go to AB Dealer, look at their calendar on their website before you go. Every 3 or 4 days, they have an event out in Denver, whether it's a craft night at the store, whether it's a trivia night, a support group. They have munches twice a month. They have a dungeon event. Go to the store itself. They're very welcoming. So if you just go to Denver, if you have the means to, look at the calendar, plan a weekend around it. You know, maybe there's a munch on Wednesday, there's an event on Thursday, there's a dungeon night on Saturday. Go there for 4 or 5 days. You'll go to the store, you'll meet some of the most amazing people that I have ever met.
Yeah.
And you will leave having had that first experience. Whether you're there by yourself or not, you will now have in-person friends, and now you'll know them online, and you've had that kind of initial jump into the community.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be Capcom. Yeah.
I'm super glad that you had that, like, very practical, pithy advice, because I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You know how people talk about having, like, emotional baggage? You can only carry your own baggage. Like, the pain that other people feel, the suffering that they feel, their sense of readiness, it's theirs. It's not yours. So only they can really know. You, like James, you specifically, you're the leading world's leading expert in Jamesology. Like, you're it. You're the number one authority. The inside of you and how you feel, you know it cold. I can't know it at all. You know it 100%. But how you look to me in the outside world, I happen to be the expert in that. Actually, everyone in this room is, and you know nothing about it. So you have to kind of surf that balance, right? People have pain, and you might think it's this big. Great for an audio podcast, right? But it might be this big. Okay, fingers small,
making
fingers
big. Making small fingers.
Thank you, right? And so the problem is not how people feel. The problem is how you feel about it. If it bothers you, if you want to help them, love them, be compassionate, you know, be kind and be understanding. So when they rail at you and say, well, I wish I could have gone to Capcom and you're a jerk for talking about it, say, I'm not a jerk, but I understand why you feel that way. And if you want to talk to my experience, I'm happy to talk to you. Not to rub it in your face, but because maybe I can encourage you to go. And if they, like, slam their browser in your face, that's not a great metaphor, then accept it, because maybe they're just not ready.
Somewhere between, thank you for that, this beautiful philosophical advice and this beautiful practical advice, I will offer just empathy and say, remember, friends, that most people have never met another ABDL. And by far, most people. There are conservatively tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, which is probably more accurate, of folks with an ABDL kink out there who have never and may never meet another person in person. They make up the majority, and I'm convinced of this, of ABDL people.
Can I offer some quick stats real quick?
Yeah.
I made a Reddit post about a year and a half ago. Got about 20 comments on it. Got about 120 likes or upvotes. 30,000 views. Yeah. It shows you how many people are lurking back there.
Yeah, and it's the same here. So if we get 7,000, 8,000 listeners to any given episode, how many people don't listen to Love and Brief? Most people. Not y'all, because y'all are cool. But so yeah, so just a friendly reminder that like this is a we. Collectively, this is a we. It is not us who do and them who don't. This is a we, and we are mostly online. And then some of us are lucky enough or are ready to show up in person. Thank you, James. Wonderful question. Let's do one more. We got 5 minutes. Let's kill it.
Hey, I'm Ryan from Canada, eh?
Welcome.
Hey.
Welcome. He, him pronouns.
Thank you.
Despite my attire and what I'm wearing, I consider myself to be a pretty firm DL. Mm. And so even when I'm standing here like this, my headspace doesn't really change. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, did you need to cultivate a headspace, an AB headspace, a caregiver headspace, even a DL headspace?
Yeah.
Did you need to cultivate that? How did you do that? You know, and when the woes of the adult world kind of weigh on you, how do you hold that headspace?
Yeah. Oh, damn it. Why do I have 5 minutes for this great question?
Sorry.
Chris, if we go 2 minutes over, they're going to kick us out? All right. Friends, let's talk about cultivating headspace.
So as much as people are going to call bullshit on this one, I am more a DL. Thank you.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Like, the baby side of me is definitely a side, like, don't get me wrong, but it's not something that shows up for everyone. Like, you know, there's a special relationship I have with mama, there's a special relationship I have with good friends that, like, they can call me baby, I can be baby around them, but that doesn't mean that just because I might be doing this and you happen to, like, come into our room party or whatnot, that if you call me baby, I'm gonna have the same reaction to you. I might just look at you and be like, you don't get to call me that. Like, it is a cultivated headspace that took a very long time because I had to get to people I was comfortable with that I cared about to have that. Like, still at the end of the day, the diapers are my king. It's like the age, but it's just a nice, fun benefit on top of everything for it. So it is a cultivated headspace for where you get, and it's different for everyone. Some people can be baby around everyone. Some people are very limited. Some people don't have the baby aspect at all. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, you got to figure out, once again, not everyone's going to be the same as everyone else. So you got to figure out where your comfort level is and where that comes out, you know, with, as you said, that you're, despite appearance, you're more on the DL, but, you know, with having that, so, you know, maybe there is that slight baby side, or maybe it's, you know, then it goes into other things. Like, my baby side cultivated from humiliation at first, and going through down that path of finding that kink and everything, and then discovering that it's like, you know, sometimes I don't need to be turning 15 shades of red, I can just enjoy being baby. Mm-hmm. So that's all.
Thank you, Spray.
For me, what helps is the outfits.
The outfits.
I think that really
the gear.
Helps me. Yeah. I think that really, if I want to feel little, I have to wear something cute, something with color, with pop. Yeah. That helps me feel little. And then if I want to feel mommy, then an outfit related to kind of that role that really gets me the headspace.
Yeah.
And then, of course, depending on who you're hanging with, too.
So if you could get around the right, get the right outfit,
yeah,
get with the right person and cultivate that dynamic.
That's what works for me.
Yeah. Thank you for that. For sure. Other thoughts?
Experimentation. Experimentation is your friend. Mm. I remember when I was first starting to do all this stuff, I would try different things to get myself into the space. Like, I would draw and write with my non-dominant hand. I would go out of my way to cautiously walk up and down stairs. I would insist upon drinking my juice cup with two hands, right? Stuff like that. But I think more than that, and this is kind of meta, like, go easy on yourself. You don't have to be good at it right away. I believe very firmly that the path to excellence travels squarely through sucking. So, like, just allow yourself to not be good at it and see how that goes, you know?
Yeah.
Try new things.
Yeah. And this is a great place to do it. This community is a great place to do it. Capcom's a great place to do it. Munches are a great place to do it. I will say, my dirty little secret is I had cultivated every bit of this headspace, minus the fact that my brain goes diapers, 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 diapers in the background all the time. I never had a bit of inherent AB in me. I never had a bit of inherent daddy in me. I mean, I may sort of have the energy for it, but I didn't grow up thinking, God, I can't wait to caretake for somebody or spank somebody. None of that. I grew up going diapers, diapers, diapers. And as a young adult, I was like around people who wore onesies and drank out of bottles, you know, as a 30-year-old engaging this community. And then I was around people who like to get attached to benches and hit with stuff. And then I was around people who like to call people daddy and mommy. And I was like, okay, I'll try. I don't know. Is this cool? Maybe. And I worked on it because I wanted to see what it was all about. And I love my baby side now. It's a little, tiny, amazing little guy. Yay. That I just love. Right? I love it. And it wasn't there, and now it is. And isn't that better that I have another thing now? I love doing the impact play. My partner Lola and I did some last night, and it was just so cool and so connecting. That none of that was factory installed on me. But isn't it cool that I have another thing now that I can do that can bring vulnerability and connection? And we all have that capacity. Also, I'll just throw a side note that it's okay if you don't. Like, DLs are not worse at being ABDLs than ABs are. ABs are not worse at being ABDLs than DLs are. You can also like neither and just come for the connection and camaraderie and to try things because you're not sure what it's about or because it's really important to your partner. So, I mean, kudos for stepping out and trying new things. And you don't have to. You can just be into what you're into. I have had so much fun, and I cannot believe we're out of time. Have you guys had fun? Yeah.
I have a very important question. I have a very important question.
Yes.
When did you first become enemies with the usual bet?
Enemies with whom?
With the usual bet.
The usual bet. I am far from enemies, Kim.
You must be. You've never invited me on your show.
This is a crossover episode waiting to happen.
Yes! Why hasn't it happened already? Why do you hate me?
I very much do not hate you. In fact, I will encourage folks to stick around today. There's an episode of The Usual Bet coming up live. Kimmy, do you want to do a crossover?
I think we just did.
I think we just did.
But you should totally invite me on your show. I have a lot to say.
This is my official invite. Would love to have you on the show. Yeah. We'll do a usual bet, love and brief crossover. Hey, how about go ahead.
Can we give a big round of applause for RY, yeah, as this podcast host?
Thank you.
Incredible.
You have to come on our show too.
I'm in.
You
I'm
have
in.
To. I'll cry.
You are such a chaos gremlin, and I love it. Friends, thank you for that. And how about a round of applause for our esteemed panel? This is a massive passion for my life, and you make it possible to get to do this. I feel so loved, and I feel so lucky. So, one more time, I'm going to make some fake theme music so that you can scream at me. Sound good? Yeah. You know what to do. Bam, bam, bam.
Love and brief.
Thank you, CapCon.